Well, all right, good to see everyone this morning. The Lord bless. And it is wonderful to meet and not be in knee-deep snow, I think. So it's good to have each of you here, and it's good to have you with us by way of internet today. May the Lord richly bless you, and wherever we may be finding you on earth, whether in this country or some other country, we're having at this particular time, and it just worked out that way, but at this particular time, we're having a Bible class with several different people, not in any one place, but scattered out in different locations in Uganda. Rabin is doing that at this particular time, as well as last Sunday. There are several that are gathered together in individual places, but they are gathered as a group, but they're all in different places. I'm not for sure what program he is using. That's totally immaterial. It's one similar to a Skype program. And so my point is, by mentioning that through all of our outreaches, and that includes our sessions today and all of the other sessions that we have, and we have throughout the week a lot of different sessions. And though they find individual believers throughout the United States and around the world, the reality of it is we find everyone that we are ministering to, we are found in Christ. Whether we're here in Arkansas, whether we're in some other state in this nation, or whether we're some other country on this planet, we are there in Christ. Our union, sweetheart, is not geographically. Now, there are many that gather together geographically in one city or one town or one place. This is one place. And we do that because the Lord has drawn together in fellowship His body, and we find that taking place all the way around the world, coming together. I was talking to the folks out in Tazewell this morning in our fellowship there. Well, they're there this morning, we're here this morning, and yet we're one body in Christ. And that's what I'm talking about. But not just that. For months, we've been looking at the reality of being in Christ. Now, that relates to every individual believer. And yet it is in that reality that we find that we're not just an individual, but part of a whole. Part of a whole. But wherever you're found, if you are born from above, then you're found there in Christ Jesus. And sometimes because of that and that reality and its working out, Paul says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God. That determined a lot about Paul, where he went, what he did when he got there. And our gathering together, though we are in Christ, in heavenly places, in that reality, we are gathered together in different places throughout the earth. And yet, I'll say it again, wherever we are there in the reality of a union that is eternal. It isn't temporary, it is eternal. So I want to continue today with that, the reality of being in Christ. But that's such a large reality and involves involves so many things. In fact, with regard to our salvation, there's nothing that is not involved. Nothing that is no reality that finds its fulfillment in Christ. There is no reality that is not found in Christ Jesus. And so as we grow in Him, we grow in what it means to be in Christ. What reality of Christ we are finding in Him. And what a tremendous reality that is. One of those realities we have talked about a good deal. And most every time I start a lesson on the internet, I mention that. No matter where you are throughout the world, no matter where we're finding you this morning, I'll go ahead and say we are finding you there in Christ. That is a reality. In 1969, I come to face that reality in a way that I couldn't even describe properly in the jungles of India, and had to realize in my very soul that here I am in India, but I'm here in Christ. That's not a figment of my imagination. Before I was in India, I was in Christ. When I came to be in India, I was there in Christ. When I left India, I was still in Christ. That was a little trip all the way around the world, so I had a lot of places to go in a lot of different countries after that. But wherever I was found there, I was found in Christ. And that became a motivating reality. And it became a reality in my heart that determined my attitude about all of those places, and that determined what I did and how I did it in all of those places. And I was gone for about 3 months on that little trip. So that's a reality to which we finally come if we're growing up in Christ. That even in this place, here, this morning, I sat here in Christ. In Christ before I come in this building, in Christ after I leave this building. And yet the real, but you see, hon, realizing that I'm in Christ, wherever it is that I'm found, doesn't really make me not in that place. It just determines what I do and how I do it in that place. Knowing that I'll not always be in that place, but I'll always be in Christ. Whether I'm driving down a highway or whether I'm sitting here on this stool, I am in Christ. There's no difference. So why should I be different driving down a highway than I am sitting here? Or why should I be different down there in that horse barn than I am here? I am in Christ. Now that's a reality to which every believer must eventually come if we walk in the light as Christ is in the light. And that is a reality, sweetheart, that determines, among other things, it determines behavior. It determines behavior. We have several grandchildren and great-grandchildren, but I'm thinking of a particularly two or three of them. And I would come into the house, and they'd be somewhere in that house. And they would hear my voice and realize that they were in the same house that I was in, and I'm in the same house they're in, realize I'm in the house. And immediately, behavior changes. Immediately. And I didn't do anything. They just heard me say something. Or maybe I walked in and cleared my voice. You know, that's all it takes. A realization that they are there in that house and I am there in that house. I'm right there with them, that I'm in the house. And we come to that reality concerning our union with Christ. Son, you know there are believers, Christians, precious people, all over the world who think that Christ is off somewhere waiting on them to come one day to where he is. And don't think that that doesn't determine behavior as well, because it does. We'll either set up our own rituals that we can, of what we do, what we don't do, what we eat, what we don't eat, how we dress, how we won't dress, how long our hair is, or how short it is, or on and on and on it goes, in order, because he's somewhere. So we need to be righteous so one day we'll be where he is. Now, I've been in Christianity since I was 6 years old. I actually, as a baby, drinking a water out of a fruit jar on a wooden floor in an Assembly of God church in Borger, Texas. So I know what I'm talking about. And I've ministered in those particular organizations as well as a young man, and went to Bible college in those organizational Bible colleges. I know what I'm talking about. Most of our living is not in an awareness that I'm in him and he's in me. And I mean, that's more than just putting my hands together and squeezing tight. No, that's like if I could put my hand in this hand like a glove, and this one in this hand like a glove, and there is a union. See, we can't even go there in the natural. But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, and that's what I want to talk to you about in just a little bit here. And how, and what is the character and the nature of that new creation, the character and the nature of the new creation in Christ, the character and nature of it is resurrection. Is resurrection. How did we become a new creation? How did we come to be in a new heaven and a new earth? How did we come to be in Christ? Well, we didn't die physically one day and wake up there. But we did die. We did die through his death, his burial, by the cross. That's a work of the Spirit of God in our soul. That's not something that I do, not something you do. It's a reality into which the Spirit of God brings us. We come to find a union with Christ in his death. He died unto sin, and in that he died unto sin, he died once. Sin hath no more dominion over him. Death hath no more dominion over him. And that's the union. That's the one who now lives in me. That's the one who now lives in you. That's the one in whom your soul now dwells. Consequently, we face him in his death, his burial, where it is not I, But we also face him in his resurrection, where it is, but Christ who liveth in me. Now, hon, that's a reality of our being in Christ. It's one of maybe thousands of realities. It's one of the all things of God. It's one of the things that constitutes the fullness of our salvation. You remember when God brought Israel out of Egypt. You remember that. I know you do. And there they stand at the Red Sea. And you remember Moses, tell Israel, because they were pretty fearful. Tell them, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Hun, that's really, that's what we're found doing. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All of that. Old things are done away. Now visualize them coming out of Egypt there, because that's exactly right. They're under the cloud, they're under the pillar of fire and the cloud. That's coming out. There they stand. They're not still in, they're there on the shores of Egypt, but there they are facing the Red Sea. And they're about to cross the Red Sea. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What did they see? They saw the way, the truth, the life. They saw this type of Christ. They saw the Red Sea becoming the way. They saw the Red Sea becoming their salvation. They saw the Red Sea becoming the death of Egypt. You understand? It's all a type of Christ there, hon. It's all a type of Christ. There was nothing for them to do but stand still and see what God had done. What God had done. Because what God has done in Christ, he is always doing. Our salvation didn't come one day and now, now that's gone and we're waiting on something else. No, it's always going on. They're not always going through the Red Sea, but they're always going to Mount Sinai, where Solomon culminates in type, in shadow, their salvation. To stand still and see the salvation of the Lord would be to look all the way to Mount Zion and see Solomon glorified in his temple, and then him giving God all the glory, and then the glory entering, all of that. And that's what God saw. And he dealt with them about that all the way there. There's a time they come, and there was a form of glory that they saw. And then there was a form of a temple that they built, a tabernacle. I mean, in bits and pieces, the Lord showed them his salvation. And it was all stand still and see. Stand still and see. And they made many mistakes, and the Lord dealt with them in many different ways. One of the final ways was when they would not cross over into the land, even though they sent spies over there, but they would not stand still and see that land and cross over into it, and they all died. And yet the Lord raised up another Israel, another seed, and they went across. They went across. But where did they stand still and see? At the River Jordan. They stood still until what? Until what? Until the priesthood carried the Ark of the Covenant, which is the supreme type of our being in Christ, because the Ark of the Covenant stands for the Holy of Holies, What type of who was in the Ark of the Covenant? The type of Christ. What was the Ark of the Covenant itself a type of? Christ and a new creation by the cherubim that was there. The whole thing of that inner sanctum, of that Holy of Holies, was a prophecy, is a type of the place prepared of God for us to dwell in with Himself. All of that's pictured there, hon. And then later on, with Solomon building a temple that stood still, didn't move around. It was there. It was, again, a type and shadow of something that was permanent. But what was brought into it that came right out of the first one? That was the major thing. What was brought into it? And it was during the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the last feast. It was the feast that wrapped it all up. It began coming out of Egypt with Passover, did it not? But what feast was it that took them into Canaan? Same one brought them out of Egypt, Passover. What was the feast? You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Stand still and see. They had a long way to look. But the Lord had to get all of the bits and pieces in there. All of the types and shadows, all of the testimonies, and all of the results of it when Israel was obedient to it. Not only just come out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, and not only that, manna falling out of heaven. And not only that, Jordan rolling back. You understand? And right on down the line until the whole thing culminated in King Solomon. No wonder then Jesus told them, presenting Himself, a greater than Solomon is come. Why didn't He use somebody else? Because He was a greater than Abraham. He was a greater than Moses. He was a great, you know. But in this particular place, He used Solomon and then said a greater temple. A greater temple. And that's coming close to where we are. I will raise it up. All of that that is destroyed by the cross, I will raise it up. Remember, we were reading that in this lesson in this series of lessons on the resurrection. The resurrection. Now, let me just say something else about it. I want to show you something. Israel, when they left Egypt, went in through the door. The door. We see the Lamb. We think about the Lamb in Christianity. And about what we preach when we preach the Lamb is the blood of the Lamb. All right, yes, I know about the blood of the Lamb, or I'm learning the blood of the Lamb, but let me tell you something, sweetheart. We think it just washed my sins away. It forgive me of my sins. I was bad, now I'm good. That's what we think. That's what many Christians think. But that night, hon, the blood was on the door. Jesus later on, Jesus Himself says, I am the door. I'm the way, the truth, the life. But then what does He say? John 14, I'm the way, the truth, the life. That's after in John 10, I believe it is. I am the door. I am the door. Think about it. Think about it. What am I talking about? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hon, if you're really searching for Christ, that's what salvation is all about to you. You will be standing in Him beholding the salvation of the Lord for eternity. And it is the vocation of our life, even while in these earthen vessels. The knowing of Him, the seeing of Him, the growing up of Him who is the head in all things. Because about the time, darling, that somebody thinks they know it all, they'll find out they know nothing at all. It is a forming of Christ, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, till Christ be formed in you, the very Spirit of Christ. And who is He? Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, power, resurrection, glory of the Most High God. And Christ in His fullness is in you. Hun, you're not going to learn that fullness in 50 years or 60 years or 70 years. You're certainly not going to learn it in 7 days. And that's why we have the treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the powers of God and not of us. We learn that. But it is real and it is in my soul. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then what do we share? We share with each other that very thing. And see, you can share that around the world. You can share that with the whole body of Jesus Christ, because you're not bound up in some little piece of doctrine about... No, you're not bound. You're looking at Him and declaring Him. And though He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, hon, He's the same because He is the Alpha and the Omega, but we're always knowing Him. Always knowing. Not because He is always changing, but because He's everything at one time and I can't digest all of it in any way. Why? Because every understanding of Christ conforms my soul to Him. And it's always being conformed and transformed. Hun, we've come to eternity now. We've come to that eternal life which is Christ. And when you begin to know that, I'm telling you, now, it's not like having a grocery list, get this, do this, don't do that, or a bucket list. No, no. But I'll tell you what it is. It determines purpose. It determines how you do. And how you do what you do and why. And there's no list of that. It's just automatic. What did Jesus say on this line of thought? See, things like this come to my mind. And I'm sure they do yours too. Talking to His disciples, talking to the Jews. Of course, the Jews tried to kill Him when He did this, but His disciples just stood there and scratched their head, didn't know what He was talking about. He said, "What I hear my Father say is what I say. What I see my Father do is what I do. My works are not my own. My words are not my own." Of course, He knew He was the Word of the Father and the Word of God. He knew His union with the Father, but He's trying to say something, darling. My Father is in me and I am in Him. See, that's the relation He wants to bring. That's the relation that He told the disciples, "I will come anew and bring you." into a relationship that there's no way you can have with me now, because now I have not gone to the Father. Now I'm in flesh and blood. Now I cannot dwell in you, and now you cannot know me as my Father will reveal me to be. You know all of these things in the verses. You know he said that. Have you ever thought about it? You know, do we really think about these things as being the very thing that the same Spirit of God does in us, informing Christ? I mean, he didn't go around and say, now the Jews did, okay, thou shalt and thou shalt not. Jews were still doing that. And most of the things he did broke something of their shout and not do and do and not do. Yeah, with their what he did on Sabbath, what he did inside the tabernacle, what he did with wherever he was. So he didn't have his little religious list with him on what he could and couldn't do, and read it when I get to a place so I'll be sure to do it right. No, it was working in him all the time. And that's the way it is with a believer who is coming to understand their union with Christ. That's how it works when Christ is revealed in you. There is a function of his Spirit. And immediately you violate that function, I mean immediately, that fast, you know it. You know it. That's like granddad walking in the room and saying, I mean, you know it. But that's the way the Spirit of the Lord works. And it doesn't do that in condemnation, but in just dealing with you as a father, by the Son. And sometimes we'll just say, stand still. Does to me. Stand still. I mean, even in searching things. Oh, Lord. Which is just something I do all the time. And the Lord will just say, stand still. All of this is just me. All of this is something of which I'm the fulfillment. You know, sometimes you just get so many notes and you get so many things that I could sit here, and I do sit right here from time to time, and I never get off the front page. Because when I sit down and start talking to you and talking to you folks, it's not the same as me sitting somewhere over in the research center and just reading consistently, and the thing is really, you know, feeding my soul. But there's a time when it's, I need to just, in all of this, see him. Because it's not about getting sermons. Then I preach the sermon and that's it, and I can put it in the file, now that's done. But you see, the gospel is never done. Knowing Christ is never done. It's never finished. And so what you want to do with those that you are with, that you share with, whether you share sitting behind a desk like this or whatever, we share the very reality of the one in whom we are dwelling, the one who is being revealed in us. We're sharing a reality, not a religion, but a reality. And it hit me sitting right down there today, this morning, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still. Stand still. I want to show you something. John 16, remember? Spirit of truth, the comforter. He will take that which is me and show it unto you. John 16. Hon, that's a lifetime. That is a lifetime. That becomes our vocation. Paul says it is. I'm quoting to you from everywhere. But not just little quotations, but where Paul, in writing his letters. But this happens to be Ephesians 4, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and then right on up, right on through there. But he talks about it. One baptism, one spirit, one faith, one Lord, one calling, which is translated there, one hope of your calling, which is translated there, vocation. One hope, one expectation of your vocation. Oh, my Lord. What's your vocation, Brother Lumen? Standing still and seeing the Lord. Standing in what He has done. Standing in who He is. That I may know Him. Because what He's done is not a lot of stuff. What God hath done is Christ in His fullness dwelling in you and I. There is no greater work of God. There is no greater creation of God. The creation of the planets don't even hold a candle to that. The creation of a man doesn't either, because the man has to find his purpose for his existence in the eternal new creation of God in Christ. That's what it was all about. And he fell short of the glory and he sinned. But that's what redemption is about. I'm just trying to say this morning, hon, that redemption, that our salvation is not something that we put the cross up here. Everything is divided by the cross, and that's true. But sometimes we don't know, we see all of this over here on this side of the cross. And I put up here, man dead in sin. Well, that's true. That's true. But then, in our religion, be it Christian religion or whatever, because we've made Christianity a religion, or many have. And thank the Lord, not all have, but many have made Christianity a religion. But what we've done, we've come up here with a good and a bad. Well, see, that happened in the garden. And that kept Adam from seeing the true glory of God. That got Adam put out of the garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Where will you find that, Adam? You'll find it yourself. When you eat that tree, you're going to see yourself for the first time. It's been my creation that you've been seeing, Adam. You've never been looking at yourself. But now, his eyes are opened, but his eyes aren't opened to God. He focuses on himself. And what does he see? His own nakedness. God's always seen it. Now Adam sees it. You know the only way he can be clothed? Sure. God had to kill More likely a lamb. Something with a skin on it. And he clothed him in that. But my point is, honey, Adam saw what was bad. And he saw that what he had called good is bad. Salvation is not about good and bad. Though our world is, and that's all well and good. I'm talking to you now about salvation. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm talking to you about if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Not one that got better. Not one that was revamped. No. Not one that was cleaned up. Because that's what we do. We try to clean it up and we divide these two. And then we determine what is good and what is bad. We do that in the church world. Now, we do that everywhere, but particularly in the church world, we do that and we'll say, it's good to do this, it's bad to do that. If you do this, then you're good, but if you do that, then you're bad. The whole thing's no good. You won't find good in any of it. You'll just find somebody trying to find good in bad, or trying to find bad in good, or it's just confusing. And what's the reason for that? Sin is the reason for that. All right, what was God's answer? We've already talked about him bringing out Egypt or Israel out of Egypt, but how did he do that? The blood of the Lamb on the door, the cross. The cross. And they couldn't come out in the nighttime. Death passed over in the nighttime. Firstborn of Egypt died. They could only come out in the morning. In the morning. If you know your Bible and you know your Psalms, and you know that all of the psalmists of the resurrection and all of are talking about the morning. I will lift up mine eyes in the morning. It's a new day. It's a resurrection. In type and shadow, they came out in the resurrection. In type and shadow, let's come over here with them. They come out in the resurrection, in type and shadow, because here was the door. And I'm using types and shadows for you because that you can see that with Israel coming out of Egypt, but it's the same thing. What does Paul say? Paul brings it all over into his life. And when he's talking about in Galatians, he's talking to the church there at that was in a Galatian church that had allowed the Jews to bring them into the law. And so Paul was writing this letter to them. And in it he says, he's talking to them about salvation. And in Galatians 2:20, and he's showing them that the law is not what it's all about. And that the law will not bring you, the law will try to show you good and bad, bad and good. That's what it'll do. But none of it is salvation. None of it is salvation. So what does Paul say? In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, when Israel entered into that door in type and in shadow, whose death was it that they entered into? They didn't put their own blood on the door. They didn't run out and kill an Egyptian. Now, that probably would have been me or you or somebody in the church world today. Let's go kill an Egyptian and put his blood on the door. Well, that didn't work. Moses had already tried that. And it cost him 40 years on the backside of the desert hiding from Pharaoh. You know that story, surely you do. No, it was the lamb. They entered in through the death of the lamb and came out in the light of a new day. A day, God, this is good. It just gets so good. Because you start thinking about things. What God told Moses that he, you know, just before he took them out, he said, this is the beginning of months for you. This is the beginning of time for you. This is the first month. What was he talking to him about? Passover, the feast of Passover. They didn't even know what a feast of Passover was. They'd never had one. What happened? What was God doing? He was saying, I don't care what time it is in Egypt, here's what time it is with you. I don't care what day. That doesn't make any difference anymore. This is my year. This is my day. This is the first, this shall be unto you the first day of the first month. And it was Passover. Passover. And Passover is the killing of the lamb and his blood upon the door. So when they came out the next morning, it was a whole new day. Even on their calendars. They had to keep time for the rest of their existence by the feasts of Passover, feast of Pentecost, feast of Tabernacles. Every one of them started with a Sabbath and ended with a Sabbath, or as Pentecost was just one day, the whole thing was a Sabbath. And Christ says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Here we dwell. And there's only one who lives in the Sabbath. And darling, he lives in you. Now see, that's the reason sometimes I got stuff stacked up, I couldn't haul it out in a ton truck. And it's fine because it's stuff I've done while I'm searching and writing and just writing to myself. But every now and then the Lord will say, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, it's Him. And that means that the whole thing has got to be worked in you. That's not your labor, that's the Lord. That's the Spirit of the Lord. It becomes a reality. But when that happens, see, then I start thinking about places I've been and the scriptures that I've got, you know, because I see all of that. Just like this little story that I told you. All of a sudden, it's all pointing toward Christ. Not just the blood on the door, but inside the house, coming out the next morning. I mean, even what time it was and even what day it was, it was Passover, darling. It was Passover. It doesn't make any difference what century that took place in, according to Egypt. Well, It's not about Egypt. That's what they left. It's about the salvation that is set forth there in that deliverance. And those feasts that are all fulfilled in the Lord Jesus, because every one of them was a type of something concerning Him. Death, burial, resurrection, His indwelling on the day of Pentecost, being filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and then the gathering together. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, old things passed away. All of that took place typically in the Feast of Tabernacles, which was on the seventh month, and ended all of the feasts of that year, every year, same thing. And you know what it all ended on? What Tabernacles ended on? Every year. So that means every year ended on what? An eighth, E-I-G-H-T, an eighth day Sabbath. There's only one of them. An eight is the number throughout the whole Bible. It's just a numerical thing. It's not, but it's always new beginnings. And every 50 years, you know what that next year was called? Year of Jubilee. Everything they had lost is given back to them. All the debts they had is done away. I mean, this is the only year they've ever lived in. The year of Jubilee. Hon, it's all there. But my God, we have the reality of it in Christ. And that's not a lame duck guess, you know. That's what Sabbath is about. It's not about some day of the week that everybody still... No, forget that. I mean, for God's sake. Sabbath doesn't even mean seven. It means rest. He hath entered into His rest. That's in Hebrews 4, where the Hebrew 4, who writing the Hebrew letter in chapter 4, talks about our rest. Our rest is secure. It remains. Why? Because he that hath entered into his rest hath ceased from his own works. That's verse 10 of Hebrews 4. Do you know who fulfills that? Do you know? It's Christ. It's Christ. Every Bible scholar that I've read agrees with that. He that hath entered into his rest hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Sure. Jesus says that. Not only, you don't have to guess about that. Who entered into his rest? Who finished the work of God? Who is the finished work of God? Jesus says in John 17, and more places than that, but John 17, Father, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. Well, see, it took hundreds and thousands of years to just set that forth in a type with Israel and the feast and all of that. What about that actually being written in our hearts and opened in our souls and becoming the transformed reality and truth and faith? That's an eternal thing, hon. I mean, the type and shadow of it filled up thousands of years. But Christ took all of that into himself at the cross, fulfilled the death of it, the burial of it, the resurrection of it. So what is here? You know, all of this that we try to reshape it and make it and, you know, make it a good place. But what is the place that is truly prepared of God? Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, the place that you have made for thyself to dwell in. The place that Christ says, I prepare the place for you. and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. It's here. It's right here. It's not in some geographical thing. It's this, it's Him. It's Christ. See, over here, you can argue all you want. You can set up every kind of a religion to make somebody good or bad or the difference between the two. All of this. You can say salvation. Well, salvation is just about, you know, it's just about forgiveness of sin. Okay, but where is life? See, we play the game of cleaning up the old man. But here, life is Christ living in you. Life is Christ. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. All right, I'm going to stop here, but I haven't. And the power of this whole thing over here, life is Christ. Is Him saying to Martha, Martha? Because she's saying, I know you'll raise up my brother again. See, resurrection wasn't about raising somebody else up again. Resurrection is that I was dead, now Christ lives in me. It's not about me living again. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Back to my little statement. Nevertheless, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, that's really what a new creation is. It's not me trying to be like Jesus, but coming to the reality and the truth and the Spirit, which is Christ, and is Christ living in me. That's what makes us a new creation. Because there's a new man living now. It's not the Adamic man. It's not the old man. There's a new man living here. In this creation, there's only one who lives. The one who says in the book of Revelation, I am He that liveth. He didn't say, I'm among the living. No, there is a living because He's the one that lives in it. I am He that liveth. Was dead. See? Yeah. To get rid of all this over here. Was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys, the authority, the power over death, over hell, over Satan. My Lord. My Lord. The exceeding greatness of His power. The power of His resurrection. But His resurrection is not a thing. Martha, I'm the resurrection. You're looking for something to happen later on. Martha, I am the resurrection. He didn't say, I do resurrections. No, I am the resurrection. Because His even raising somebody up from among the dead, you know, healing somebody died, several times that happened. But that's not resurrection. Resurrection is not me living again. Resurrection is Christ living in me. It's a new life. It's a life that death has nothing, death can't touch. I mean, no kind of death can even touch it. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, we're going to stop there. Lord bless. Appreciate you guys being with us. Not only those that are able to be here, but you who are watching from wherever. And it's just good to be with you. and may the Lord richly bless you. If there's any way we can help you, please let us know. Any way we can increase ministry toward you, let us know that as well. And there are those of you whom no doubt the Lord has dealt with, because we certainly don't solicit stuff. But I appreciate you who help us continue to get this gospel, to get this gospel throughout the church and around the world. It's an increase of this gospel. And there's many of you who help us do that, who support CMI. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. It's not used to maintain the status quo, but what you're able to give is that by which we're able to reach out beyond ourselves. Well, what you're watching right now is a reaching out beyond ourselves, and we want to continue to do that throughout His body. So, the Lord bless, and we'll see you next time. Amen.